Well, welcome again. We're glad that you're here this morning. Normally, you're listening to Pastor Mark give a wonderful message on Sunday mornings, and occasionally he needs to take a break, and so when he does, usually, I'm your fill-in guy, right? Not always, but usually, Bob in the back likes to call me the holiday preacher, the vacation preacher, and so Pastor Mark today is down in the Twin Cities, and so he actually has preached 17 weeks in a row. Now, there was one week where Mark Brookmull shared, and we did the small groups thing, but Pastor Mark was still here and kind of shared during that day, too. So 17 weeks in a row, I think he could use a little week off, a little break, and so he's taking that today down in the Twin Cities, and just be praying for him and for his family. So today, you're stuck with me. I always like to say that at the beginning, just to start humble, right? Today's kind of a special day for me in many ways. I'm going to do my best to get through this thing without crying. If you don't know me, I cry a lot, so it's just there. I'm just going to throw it out there. More than likely, I'm going to cry. So if you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that's all I'm going to say. Okay. But it is special for me because actually 6 years ago, last week is when I started at Bayside. 6 years ago, March of 2006, I became to Bayside to become the youth pastor. And as I think about that, and as I've thought about that in the last couple of weeks, a lot has changed. A lot has changed. Here at the church now, we have wood floors throughout the building, except for here in the sanctuary. We now have yellow siding up in our steeple, right? You can see our church from far away. A lot of new faces here at Bayside. Just raise your hand if you're new here in the last 6 years, if you've just been coming to Bayside in the last 6 years. Would you agree with me that that's the majority of the people here in this room? And that's a good thing. I mean, it can be a sad thing in a way because there's a lot of people that have come and gone. But I praise God for the many people that have paved the way for all of us to be here today. There's people who may not come to Bayside anymore that set the path for Bayside over the last many, many, many years. And I'm very thankful for that. But a lot has changed over the last 6 years since I've been here, including my family. Instead of a puppy, I now have a 7-year-old dog. I mean, that's just crazy when I thought about that. And also, we've added children, and I like to share children, as you know, and so I'm going to show a couple pictures. There's Garrison. He's my 4-year-old son, and another picture is Josiah. Josiah is 2.5 years old, and I think there's another one of them together. There's Garrison and Josiah sporting their look there. I think that was last fall. And so it's just exciting. I think we have one more family picture here, and you can barely see it. I think the lights are shining on it, but if you can see, there you go. That's actually a baby coming to you this fall at one of the hospitals here in Duluth, due September 22nd. So I just want to share that with you all today. And what I can say is this, is that I am just blessed with my family and with my church family. We're so blessed that you as a church have supported me and my wife and our kids, and it's just a blessing to be a part of the ministry here at Bayside. We're very excited about our coming baby and just really looking forward to that. Now my wife doesn't have to try and hide it any longer, now that you all know. So make sure that you congratulate. She's actually at the nursery desk this morning. Otherwise, I'd point her out, and you could all embarrass her and everything. But so just if you think of it, you can stop by and congratulate her this morning. Just very excited, like I said. I'm talking this morning on the topic hide and seek, and it's kind of in the series that we started last week that Pastor Mark started, The Subtleties of Seek. And last week, we actually had a retreat. I think Paul mentioned this during the worship time. And we had a retreat, and the theme of our retreat was hide and seek. And actually, since I've been to Bayside in these 6 years, we've done 12 youth retreats in the last 6 years. 12 youth retreats. And we've gone to many different camps, many different situations, and we've had many students blessed and encouraged by our different retreats. And it's been a blessing for me as a leader, as the youth pastor, and I know for our other leaders, it's just been a huge blessing to be a part of these different retreats. And last week, we had our retreat for hide and seek, and we went up to Storybook Lodge. We had 44 students go up to Storybook Lodge with us, and just a powerful weekend. The worship was amazing. The speakers did a great job. And in our prayer before we went on this retreat, we knew that when we put on these retreats, we do all the planning and set things up, and we pray that it all works out according to the plan. And we prayed this time even more so for students, hearts to be open. Because whenever we put these events on, God always moves. God is faithful. No matter what we do, God always moves and is so powerful in everything that he's doing in our lives and in this church. And God is always moving. And my prayer, and I encouraged our leaders to pray, was to pray for students' hearts to be open to the way that God was moving over the weekend. And boy, did God ever answer that prayer. Again, 44 students went. We had 3 students put their faith in Christ for the very first time. We had probably between 30 and 40 students make some type of commitment or dedication to God, a life change, a decision, something that they had to give up to God. And to me, every single student that was there was impacted in a great way. It was a powerful weekend. Our theme verse was Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hide and seek was our theme. And so this morning, I'm going to share a little bit about what our theme was from last weekend, and hopefully just motivate you and encourage you a little bit to think about how this might apply to each one of us who are here today. When you're thinking about hide and seek, and when you play the game hide and seek, let's just take a quick poll. Who in here has ever played hide and seek? Okay, there you go. Majority rules again. Okay, so most of us have played the game hide and seek. And if you've never heard of the game in hide and seek, where have you been hiding, right? All right. Hide and seek is a common game, mostly children. If you're an adult and you've played hide and seek in the last couple years, I'm wondering if you've been working with the youth or what's going on there. Maybe you have a grandchild, right? If you have grandchildren, maybe you've played hide and seek. Okay, so that's a good excuse. But hide and seek, when you hide, normally, when you hide in the dark, right? Usually hide in a dark place so that somebody can't find you. And then when children hide, they go to a closet or a place where they know it's dark where they can't be seen. And in life, when we hide things in the dark. And our sin, we like to keep in the dark. And when you're playing hide and seek, you look to the light, and sometimes you might use a flashlight, and you're seeking with the light. And in life, when we're seeking Christ, and Christ is our light. And so this morning I want to share just a couple of things, 3 things this morning why, or 3 things that we hide from. And they're not the only 3 things that we hide from, but 3 things as I prayed about this message and as I prayed about the retreat that I think of that students hide from, and I really believe that all people hide from. I know that I hide from these things. And so why do we hide from God? And there's three reasons why we hide from God. And the first reason is sin. We hide from God because of sin. And this isn't going to be easy to share some of these things because they're kind of pointing the finger. But don't worry, when I point the finger as I give this message, it comes right back to me, okay? I'm right here with you. I can confess to you that I'm a sinner. I sin every single day. I make mistakes all the time. I'm a sinner. I just want to get that out there and say that. But we hide from our sin, and I'm not alone, or you are not alone in this. I hide from my sin. Genesis 3, verses 8 through 10, after Adam and Eve had committed the first sin, and here's what it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' When Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God." And when we sin, all too often we try to hide that from God. A second reason why we hide from God is fear. Sometimes it's fear of failure. For some reason, sometimes it's fear of success. It's fear of God. It's fear of relationships. And in Jonah, we'll talk about Jonah a little bit more later on, but in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare and went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh and preach. He was afraid. He was afraid. He was in fear of what might happen if he went to Nineveh, and so he hid from God. And when we have things in our lives that we're afraid of, when we have fears, we hide them from God. Another thing that we hide from God is frustration. And this one's a little bit more difficult. We get frustrated with God, and a lot of time we like to hide that from God. We like to hide our frustration from God. And I want to encourage you today as I'm giving this message, I hope this applies to all of us. And I really hope that as you think about frustration, do you hide your frustration from God? Because I don't think that God wants us to hide our frustration. Even if we're really frustrated with God, I don't think he does. In fact, if he didn't want us to, he wouldn't have allowed Psalms to be in the Bible. Because the book of Psalms is filled with frustrations of David and other writers who wrote their frustrations with what was happening in their life and the things that God was doing. And so I think that God is okay with us sharing our frustrations with him. Psalm chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. That's David frustrated about what God was doing in his life at that time. And I think it's okay. I think sometimes we hide. We think, man, I'm frustrated with God, but I'm going to hide that. I think it's okay for us to pray a prayer to God of frustration. Now, we don't want to live there. We don't want to stay there, but it's okay to share our frustration with God. Think about it for a minute. What do you hide from God? What do you keep separate from God? Sin, fears, frustrations. Think about this morning. Why are you hiding from God? Sin, fear, frustration. I want to talk a little bit about seeking. Why should we seek God? Why should we seek God? I got just a couple of things that real quick that I want to share. Why we should seek God? Number one, because he tells us to. In Matthew 6:33, our theme verse from the retreat, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And also in Isaiah 55:6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. So we seek God because he tells us to. Another reason why we seek God is because he will answer us. The Bible is full of verses that say, if you seek me, I will answer you. In Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, a verse that probably a lot of us are familiar with. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. God will answer you, and that's one reason why we should seek him. Another reason we should seek him is because it will bring light into our darkness and the things that we are hiding. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When we're seeking God, when we're not hiding from him, we're seeking him, it's bringing light into our life and it's taking away that darkness, that sin that we have in our life because we're seeking Jesus Christ who has taken away our sins. And a fourth reason, these aren't the only reasons why we should seek God. These are just four that I just wanted to share with you today. But the fourth reason we should seek God is because it's better. It's better to seek God than to hide from him. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. When we seek God, we experience God's power. When we seek God, we experience God's glory. When we seek God, we experience God's majesty. When we seek God, we experience God's blessing. Power, glory, majesty, blessing. God wants to give us all those things when we seek him. And at this retreat last week, just what an amazing time. And the reason why it was so powerful is because God was there and because God was so evident and powerful. His power, his glory, his majesty was all there. But then it went to that next level because the students' hearts were open to being moved. And this morning, I just want to share with you some of these testimonies that I've seen and heard and received. And now with students in today's generation, a good testimony can come up right on Facebook. And Facebook is, if you're not familiar with Facebook, it's on the internet and it's this place where people can post anything. You can write something and all of your friends who are on this internet and on the Facebook can see what you've written. And so you can write anything you want. And our students have an opportunity to be a testimony through their Facebook. And after our retreat, when we got back for the next 24 to 48 hours, I started seeing posts on Facebook pop up. And so I started saving them because this was an amazing testimony of what happened this last weekend. And so I want to share a couple of these with you. Here's one. Here's just a couple of them that I want to share. The retreat was awesome and very powerful. I had a lot of fun being part of worship and watching people's lives be changed. I just got back from the most awakening retreat of my life. Realizing how much I hide from God every day, I can honestly say that I have changed, and I will continue to change through Him. What a great weekend. Intense, draining, unforgettable. These are all things that these students have posted on their Facebook page for all of their friends to see, both Christian and non-Christian friends, their family members, anybody who can see their page can see this. No more hiding from God. I'm going to seek Him. I had a great time at the retreat. I really felt like I belonged. I made new friends and learned more about God. It was amazing, and I can't wait till next year. This weekend really changed my life a lot. I've really analyzed my life, and I'm changed, thanks to all involved. This was definitely a retreat I will never forget. Thanks a whole lot to everybody who planned and put this amazing retreat on. Thanks to all the people who put this on. It was very moving, and everyone was touched. God bless you all. Remember to seek for God. I never really knew that I was hiding from God, and by this retreat, I let go of all these things that were holding me back. Thanks for all of everyone's help. This was a retreat I will never forget. And here's one last one that I want to share. I poured my heart out to God this weekend. I'm a whole new person because of it. After 2 hours of crying and praying, I accepted Him into my life as my Savior. I will not hide from things anymore. I will seek Him, and I did last weekend. How powerful God is when we set our hearts open to His power, to His glory, to His majesty, to His blessing. I just want to take a moment right now. If you were a part of the retreat, if you were a student, if you were an adult, somebody that came and served, I just want you to stand for a minute. Just stand up if you were there. Don't be afraid. A lot of them are sitting over here. But just stand up, and I want you to look around. Everyone else who's here this morning, Paul's in the back. He was there. He stayed. Okay, everybody here that was there, part of the retreat, this is first service. We have two services. There was about 75 people that were there. And I want to thank each and every one of you that were there, the adults that served in different capacities, whether it be through the worship team or the food or as a chaperone, as an adult, and then specifically the students, because God moved through you, and it was a powerful retreat. And I can honestly say it was the most powerful retreat that I've been on. 12 retreats in the last 6 years, and this was it. And these students here, most of them here, but some of them are spread out throughout the room, but most of them over here, these students here were changed. They were changed forever, and you see them here as a part of our church, bringing life into this church. You can sit down. What a testimony of how God moved over the weekend that we had last week. I want to share a couple of more verses, actually one more verse and then a couple more things this morning. Hebrews 11:6 Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, and in Hebrews 11:6 it says this, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." I want you to think today for a second. Do you believe that God exists, first of all? I'm hoping most of us in this room today believe that God exists. And if you don't and you're wondering about that, please come and talk to me after the service this morning. I'd love to talk to you about that. But hopefully most of us believe that God exists. The second part, though, do you believe that God rewards those who seek Him? I believe it because I've lived it. God has rewarded me when I'm seeking Him. God has rewarded these people that just stood up when they were seeking Him this last week. And the NIV version, I think I just even put it in there when I was reading it just now, says earnestly. I was reading out of the ESV, but the NIV version says earnestly, those who earnestly seek Him. As if you needed any other reason, God rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I want you to think today for a second. Are you earnestly seeking Him? Are you earnestly seeking Him? I want to encourage you to think about it. Think about how you hide and seek. What are you hiding from God? And this is between you and God. This isn't going to be a confession time. But every one of us probably is either hiding something from God or has hid something from God or has something deep down that maybe they will be hiding or maybe they have been for a long time. And that's between you and God. I like to say I know most people that are here today and have some great relationships with many of you. And I know some of you a lot more than others. But I don't know the deepest, darkest spots in your heart and in your life, and I don't know the things you're hiding. But God does. And we talked about this over this weekend at this retreat. We talked about how you can't hide anything from God. It will get found out. And we had students share some amazing testimonies of things that they were hiding maybe from their family, from their parents, and from God that eventually got found out. And it changed their life. And maybe it hurt at first because it was something they were hiding that they shouldn't have been, maybe something that they'd done, and it hurt that it got found out. But once it got found out and they started seeking God, it changed their life forever. Powerful, powerful things. When should you be seeking God? Well, always. We should always be seeking God. But I just real quickly wanted to go back to those things that we hide from God. We should seek God in our sin. We should seek God in our sin. Confession. We should seek God in our sin through things like confession. I think 1 John, we have a verse, hopefully will pop up because I don't have it in my notes. Is it there, Elise? 1 John 1:9. Many of us have heard this verse. There it is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to hide our sins from God. Christ died once for all. That means that he's forgiven us for our sins and for every sin that we'll ever do, every sin that we'll ever commit, every mistake that we've ever made or ever will make. And so if we don't confess our sins, it's almost taking away from what Christ did, taking away from the power of Christ. We can confess our sins. We should be seeking God in our sin by confessing our sins. Another place that we should seek God is in our fear. We should seek God for comfort. When you fear, when you're afraid of something, you should go to God for comfort. God is the God of comfort. He is the God that will rescue you. And many times in the Psalms, when those prayers and those Psalms were talking about frustration with God, the next part of the Psalm turned to comfort. I find comfort in the Lord. And I find strength in the Lord. When I fear, I will put my strength in the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. And so we should seek God in our fear for comfort. And then thirdly, again, in our frustrations, we should seek God. And the reason we should do that is for authenticity with God, for a real relationship. If you're frustrated with God, just talk to him about it. Share it with him. Get those feelings out in the open. Don't hide it from him anymore. No matter what it is that you might be hiding from God, it's time to turn those things that you're hiding and start seeking God. You know, hide and seek is a fun game, and children love to play it, and sometimes adults do too, and like I said, maybe grandparents like to when they have their grandkids, and who in here thinks they're really good at hide and seek? Not very many people. Okay, got a couple over here, good. We play hide and seek occasionally in youth group sometimes, and sometimes it's about, you know, finding a good hiding place and strategic and all that, but, you know, the greatest hide and seeker of all time might just be the prophet Jonah, and I mentioned him earlier, and we're going to talk a little bit about Jonah. Jonah ran from the Lord. Again, I'm going to go back to Jonah 1:3. When God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach, it says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it and to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." And back then, the world wasn't as big as it is now. I mean, it still was, but they didn't know of the rest of the world. And so they lived in this world around the Great Sea. And Tarshish and Nineveh were on opposite ends of the world. And they may not be that far away now, but back then that was like the opposite ends of the world. Jonah hid. He ran away as far as he could from where God wanted him to go. And he thought he could hide. And probably most of us have heard the story of Jonah and know what happened to Jonah. And if you don't, here you're going to find out. I'm going to break the story for you. Even when we're hiding from God, Jonah went and hid from the Lord. And does everyone know what happened to Jonah when he hid? He got thrown off that ship. He went to Tarshish in a ship, and they hit a storm, and all the people on the ship were trying to figure out what they could do to save themselves, and they were all religious people back then, and so they figured that it was somebody that on the ship had done something, and so they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah, and they confronted Jonah, and they said, "What'd you do?" And he said, "Well, I believe in the God. I believe in the real God. I believe in God, the God of the Hebrews." And they started to get scared. And he said, I'm hiding from my God. And they said, all right, so it is you that's caused this catastrophe that we're in. And so he said, yes, it is. Just throw me overboard, and the storm will stop, and you'll be fine, and you'll be saved. And so they threw him overboard. They throw Jonah overboard, and even while he was hiding from God, the Lord provided. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. The NIV version says the Lord provided a huge fish. God provides for us even when we're hiding from him. God provides for us. Think about how God has provided for you even when you're hiding from him, maybe even right now. And this may not seem like God was providing him by having him swallowed up by a fish. That doesn't seem like that God's providing for him. But let's be honest, he would have died at sea if this fish didn't come and eat him, if God didn't provide this fish. So really, God rescued him. God rescued him. And there's another great hide-and-seeker that I want to tell you about this morning and kind of parallel the story of Jonah and this other hide-and-seeker. And that's about a young man named Tom. And Tom was a high school student seeking acceptance. He knew God, he had faith, but he lived his life with a light switch. And see, when he was in the world, he switched the light off and he acted one way. And when he was at church or home, he switched the light on and acted another way. But even in this inconsistent life that he was living, the Lord provided for Tom. The Lord blessed Tom with great friendships, popularity, success at sports, and even success in relationships. Everywhere he went, people really liked Tom. And after the Lord provided for Jonah, Jonah repented. And in chapter 2 of Jonah, Jonah just shares this prayer. And we see Jonah's prayer while he's in the belly of a fish. And he reflects and he repents and he renews his relationship with God. And again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in the same way that Jonah did that in chapter 2, Tom, he went to Bible camp in the summers as he was growing up in high school. And after his senior year and all the partying that he had done, going along with his friends, graduating from high school and partying and doing all these crazy things they shouldn't have been doing, hiding these things from God and from his family, he went to this same Bible camp. Not Wood Lake Bible Camp, but another Bible camp. And at camp, God provided an opportunity for him to confess, to repent, and to renew his relationship with God. And Tom did that in front of 100 of his peers at camp, just broke down crying, confessing that just weeks ago he had been partying and hiding things from God. He didn't want to hide it any longer. And after confession, Jonah obeyed. God desires our obedience. Jonah responded in chapter 3. After the fish had spewed him up onto the ground, he obeyed God. Jonah got up and he went to Nineveh. He preached with all of his heart and he followed what God wanted him to do with his life. Jonah responded to the Lord. And after that confession at camp, Tom ended up going to a Christian college. He started obeying God in all things, and God continued to bless him. And God developed him into a strong leader. You know, I wish that the story could end there. I wish that it could just end there and it would be perfect. It'd be really nice, but it doesn't end there. The story does not end there. I encourage you today, if you've never read through the book of Jonah, or maybe if you've had, I encourage you sometime this week to just read through the book of Jonah. It's 4 chapters. It's not very long. And just look at that story of Jonah going back and forth, hiding and seeking. And just see how your life might parallel with Jonah's. Because the story didn't end there. Jonah actually got frustrated with God. He had obeyed God in going to Nineveh to preach and actually was successful in doing so. So much so that the Ninevites believed. And when they believed, God had compassion on them. You see, Jonah had been told by God, you need to go and preach to these people, otherwise I'm going to destroy them. They're that bad. And so Jonah finally obeys, he preaches to them, and they believe. And so God decides, because God is God, and he's going to do whatever he wants to. He is sovereign. We can't control what God's going to do. And so God decides to have compassion on them. And this angered Jonah. Jonah had a relapse in chapter 4. If you read deeper into it, you'll find that God didn't care so much about how Jonah felt or about Jonah's comfort. God cared more about the lost people of Nineveh. I want you to think about this for a second. God cares about you. God loves you. Don't get me wrong. But God cares less about your comfort, about your needs, or how you feel. God cares more about the lost people that can be saved by your life that you live in following him. Think about it. Think about that. God cares more about the lost people that can be saved by the life that you live in following him and seeking him. That's what he did with Jonah. He didn't care that Jonah was going to get frustrated. I mean, maybe he cared a little bit, but he didn't care as much as he cared about those people in Nineveh, because he wanted to see those people in Nineveh give their life over to him and seek him. And the same for your life. Think about, what is your Nineveh? What are you hiding from? And again, I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know you. It's between you and God. Maybe you're hiding from a person. Maybe you're hiding from a family. Maybe you're hiding from a place. Maybe you're hiding something in your life that you need to confess before God. But is there a Nineveh that you need to go to? Is there a Nineveh that you need to go to? Think about it. God cares more about the lost people that can be saved by your life with you following him and seeking him. God is concerned more about the bigger picture. And again, the story didn't end as Tom struggled with where to go in life. He didn't have any direction, and he still leaned towards the ways of the world. He was concerned about making money, getting a good job, finding a wife, starting a family, living the American dream, and Tom had a relapse. And then one day, God called out Tom. And God led Tom to this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. When God gave that verse to Tom, Tom realized he had a purpose in life. It wasn't just to make money. It wasn't just to get a good job. And he knew then that God was calling him for a purpose into ministry, to be a pastor and to be a youth pastor. And God called Tom into ministry in Minnesota for a short time. And then later, 6 years ago, called him to be the youth pastor at Bayside Baptist Church. Tom decided to seek God. I decided to seek God. And all those other things fell into place. God blessed me with a wonderful wife. He blessed me with a wonderful family and more to come. And he blessed me with an amazing job. And though I don't have the most money in the world, I don't need money. What I need is to seek after God with all of my heart, and God will bless me. And he does so much, and he has so much. When I look out and I see these young people here who have committed their lives to Christ, and when I see some of these young people who just years ago were completely different people, or maybe even just weeks ago were completely different people, I know that is why God called me here. And so Nineveh may not be superior to you, but superior may not be Nineveh to you, but superior for me was Nineveh. And it was that decision to just follow wherever God was going to lead me. And God led me and my family to superior. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want to share one last story from our retreat. One of our young people after the retreat sent me an email, and I have to share this story with you. If you were here Wednesday night, I shared it, and so I apologize if this is the second time you hear it, but it's such a good story that I hope that you'll be encouraged either way. And here's what the email says, and I'm just going to read it and then wrap up, and then we're going to sing a song to close this morning. It says this: "Hey, Tom, I need to say something that's been tugging at my heart since Friday." And this email I got Sunday night, the day we got back from the retreat. "Thank you so much for sending me that invitation to the retreat, saying that you would all love to have me come to the retreat. I actually did not plan on going into the retreat until you sent that. But for whatever reason, I felt like God was really calling me to go to this retreat, and now I understand why. I actually witnessed to a friend for the first time tonight, which is why I'm up so late. Long story short, we were on the phone, and he was crying his heart out about a lot of issues. I went silent, and he asked me why I was so quiet. I told him I was praying for him, which is something I would have never admitted to before this weekend. He is a non-Christian, but he decided to pray for his situation as well. After he was done, he told me that his tears dried, his stomach stopped hurting from his crying, and he was smiling. He told me that before, how he believed God was working against him in his life, but now he knows that God is on his side. This is by far the greatest feeling I have ever had. Another thing that I've done today was talk to my mother about going to church. I grew up in a non-Christian family my entire life, so it's somewhat of a difficult subject to talk about with my family. My mom is iffy about it, but she says she'll try it. I've been praying about it the whole weekend, and I'm really excited to see what God has in store for her. I'm so nervous for her, but I'm praying that she will be brought to the Lord as I was 3 years ago, coming from the same non-Christian perspective as she is. Thank you so much for this retreat. Already, I feel like a completely different person. You're an amazing inspiration to me, and I wanted to let you know how much this has already impacted me greatly. Thank you so much. Life change, transformation can happen when we stop hiding from God and we start seeking Him in all things. Many of us are hiding things from God. Think about it today. What are you hiding from God? What is your Nineveh? Now is the time to start seeking Him. Seek God. Go to your Nineveh and shine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I love you so much, and I thank you. God, I thank you for the powerful way that you moved in the lives of our students. Thank you for the messages that you gave us, for your word, for the powerful worship, and for just this morning, the opportunity for us to hear this message and to be encouraged to find the things that we're hiding from you, God, and to show them to you, to reveal them to you, God, to just hand them over to you, to stop hiding and to seek you and to seek you with all of our hearts. God, I pray that you would be blessed today by our time of worship. I pray that you would be blessed today by our fellowship. God, I pray that you would be blessed today by our decision as individuals in this room to stop hiding from you and to seek you with all of our heart. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.